All right. Let me know when.
Okay. Let me just wait for the siren to kind of get a little bit. And there's also some loud traffic passing by, so.
Grammy sexism against the Lord. Marquis Smith the Fall dead at 16. Oh, that's right. Chris Love doing it for the culture. Plug for Dan from the internet 15. Wow, you have no shame. Spotify. Shit.
Hello, humans. Hey. Welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast about music news and music culture, and boy, do we have a lot of culture today.
We have plenty.
We have too much culture. Oh, God. I didn't even mean to do that. Too much culture. We're going to be talking about Migos culture, too, if Sean doesn't kill me for my puns. Sean is my friend from the other side of the great state of California. How are you doing today?
From the Republic of California, allegedly, that like some people want to break away from. It's chill down here. It's kind of hot today, which is weird. It's been cold lately, but I looked on my phone and said 30 degrees. I go, what the fuck? That's the Celsius. Whoa, yeah, for you assholes.
Right? Today's the first warm day we've had in a while up in Free Speech Studios, Berkeley, California. And yeah, everything's going pretty well. Before we get started, follow me. Please, on things.
Who are you, by the way? You're Dan, right?
I'm Dan from the internet. I am. Sam, I am. Dan, I am. Facebook.com/Dan from the internet is where I am. Twitter/Dan from the web, because some asshole still has my name and I'm a little bit bitter about that because I just have to make a cool graphic and it just fucks up everything. Dan from the internet on Instagram, and Sean is my friend who is far more humble than me and a triathlete. And he's simple. SW Suarez and everything. Let's go. Let's get started.
So, Drake, young fake Jamaican Drake, young plays hockey Canadian Drake. He apparently broke Spotify's record for most streams on one song in a single day.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. It overtook, restrain myself, it overtook Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do. Drake's song God's Plan, it got what, 14 million streams in one day. Jesus
Moses. 14 million streams on Apple Music and 4.3 million streams on Spotify, so which
18.3
is
together
combined, not to mention, you know, Tidal, Google Play Music,
people who actually, that's streaming. So
the context behind,
still listen to it.
The context behind all of this is that Drake released Scary Hours is the
Scary
title
Hours.
Of this like EP, but it's two songs, God's Plan and Diplomatic Immunity. We're not the biggest Drake fans, as you can tell by like Sean's like three rapid fire takes and one introduction. I love that this is that show now. But you know, he's just very bland. He's like Muzak, but for some reason people really like enjoy and get into. It's plain, it's fine. The two songs were nice. If you're looking for some like evolution of Drake's sound, you don't know Drake, this ain't it. But you know, it broke records, which shows that music can be just passable, doesn't have to be great, and it can still do well. Charts, that's how life works. Are you cynical or you want to move on? Oh, other funny thing. There's an electronic artist, your EDM is reporting, that claims that the artwork for Scary Hours was heavily influenced by an artist, Rabbit, I believe.
And or commonly known as Stolen.
That Vanilla Ice thing. We was trying to explain how it wasn't.
Oh my god. I forgot about that. Fucking kill me.
This is the 2018 version of that. No, you don't understand. The font is, it's thinner on the Rabbit album, but it's a little bit chunkier on Drake's album. So it's a little bit, but yeah, it's just kind of funny. Next, we have another song that's a little bit surprising. I'm going to definitely botch his name, but Dabrai and Doom. That Doom.
MF Doom's lost his son. MF Doom, all capital, spell a man's name. Why the hell does he have glasses on over his Max, his mask? He looks like a derp.
He's done that before, but that's a particularly odd photo. We're looking in a Pitchfork article.
What the hell? He looks like he's becoming a granddad rapper now. Jesus.
So Dabrai is doing a song, an album that's coming out soon, and Doom is featured on the album in one song. And did you get a chance to listen to it? I added it kind of late to the rundown, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just listened to it when you told me about it. I wanted to make sure I did.
And so it was really interesting that you mentioned granddad, like, rapper, because, you know, I had to kind of realize as I was listening to this, like, yo, this is 2018. I've been listening to Doom for more than 15 years subconsciously, but, like, 10 years really knowing, like, who Doom was, right? Like, that means Doom is 10 years old, and I thought Doom was pretty old, like, 10 years ago. So, like, yeah, like...
He's old.
He's an uncle rapper, like, and it started out... The song like started out kind of like uncle rappy, but then maybe it's just because I like Doom, or maybe it's just because he still like kind of has beats and like flows that like it ultimately ended up being good. But at the end of the song, like he still has that kind of like storytelling.
Yeah, style. No, that started at the beginning too of the song where it had the little storyteller, 1950s, 1940s voice man cut in talking about some superhero shit. Yeah, and I came on first. I'm like, oh my god, Doom, it's back.
Yeah,
it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's definitely not, like, peak Doom, like, 2003 to 2008, like, and Mad Villainy, right? But, like, he's still there, but my ultimate hot take, because I told you I had a hot take for this, is that I hope that that maybe we never hear from Doom again after this. This is a very high note to...
Whoa! Damn.
Listen, this is a very high note to end on. MF Doom, I consider him, like, one of my formative, like... artist, one of my favorite rap artists, and I really don't want to remember him as that artist who kept going a little too long. I don't want to have to go, oh yeah, MF Doom, he's like one of my favorite rappers. His later stuff was kind of like not good, and we're already kind of there. His later stuff did kind of like dip a bit, but there are some other good things. Basically, I just want Doom's legacy to selfishly be good for me. So
well, I mean, if he could still makes good music, then I think he could do it, because look at Nervian Doom a couple years ago.
That was all right, but that was mostly like a Doom produced Bishop Neru heavy thing, and because of that, Doom kind of took a backseat lyrically, and like you could tell it like wasn't completely on his game.
And I think I would like to see him do more producer shit.
Me too. Like
that's what I really want to see him feature on a couple songs in an album, but then like yeah, get in Bishop Neru, who's relatively new, and get him more into the game, like really good rappers that not many people have heard of, give them a front seat into the world.
Yeah,
I would love to see that, because he still has a lot to offer for the industry, because I don't want him to dip out, because there's a lot of shitty rappers out there, and I don't want them to take all of the spotlight.
I get you,
as we will get to later.
Yeah, it's that. This is gonna be so fun. Also, let's finish up this point and then get to the rest of everything, because that was just the singles part of the show. Yeah. We also have news. We're gonna be talking about Migos Culture 2, and we're also gonna be talking about Django Django's new album Marble Skies. And we have a discussion topic. We haven't done a discussion in a while, but we've been talking about doing it for a while. Is rock dead? Can't wait for those takes. But just to finish up this point, it's that clash between Doom at his peak and at his potential. Is a great artist, but knowing that he's been kind of inconsistent and been like here and there, the Adult Swim singles project, like that left a bad taste in my mouth, which was like abruptly canceled. Like, I just don't want Doom. Here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want Doom to release something. I listen to it, and I'm in like partially in denial halfway through listening to it for the first time that like one of my favorite artists turned to shit, because I kind of almost had that feeling softly with Wu-Tang Clan, with Saga Continues, I believe. Not that I like really love Wu-Tang Clan, but, like, you know, they're classics, they're like staples, that they're like huge, and then to hear it like that, it's like it's embarrassing, it's sad, it's like that's gonna forever be like a scar on that legacy, and I don't want that to happen to Doom. On the other hand, I totally get your point. I hadn't thought about it that like I would love to, if Doom can bring it, if Doom can be at his peak, I'd love that Ghostface Doom thing to come out, because, like, the songs that came from that went really hard. But it's just too inconsistent. I don't know. And so I'm more like rather better safe than sorry with Doom. He's a treasure to me.
Yeah, I get that. So,
all right, let's get into some news.
Which is all bullshit, which I hate the Grammys anyways. But
we did our Fuck the Grammys show on the Audio Face Awards. It was the anti-Grammys. You should listen to that. We might have some new listeners for this episode, but you should definitely go back to listen to that for a train wreck. But anyways, go ahead.
So reportedly, Lorde isn't performing at the Grammys because she wasn't allowed to perform solo, apparently. She's, you know, up there for Album of the Year, and I guess the organizers or whatever approached her about performing with other artists, but not solo as herself, which I guess they approached to the other Album of the Year candidates, who all were allegedly offered solo spots. So that's kind of a shitty thing to do.
What's another interesting thing about all the other Album of the Year nominees? They're all men.
I said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
I didn't that. Hear. All My of bad. The yeah, all of the other ones are all male.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess that's like really shitty. I'm reading it. Sorry, I'm trying to think of.
I mean, so we do stories on like a weekly basis, and this like we mix them up in a random order, and so some of these stories like were earlier in the week, some were later. We're recording this podcast on the 28th on Sunday, and it's going to go out later today on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so this story came out yesterday on Saturday, the 27th of January. And so news might develop, and so we'll talk about it next week. And so there's a possibility that the Grammys has some pretty incredible, captivating reason why Lorde is somehow different from the other Album of the Year or, like, Artist of the Year nominees, and that she can't perform solo when the other ones allegedly could.
Yeah,
and it has nothing to do with the... It has nothing to do with the which one of these is not like the other. That's very obvious, and it's, like, you know, very on the, like, zeitgeist mindset of culture today. So, maybe there's a good reason, but it's gotta be a really good reason. I can't think of one.
No, I really can't either.
It's not like Lorde is like a non-capable musician. She's performed like she performed with the flu once, didn't she?
I think she just performed at the Grammys too.
She performed like all the award show kind of blur together to me. Yeah. But like she performed with the flu, I'm pretty sure. I need to check that. But like Lorde can go. Yeah, it was the VMAs.
Yeah,
just last year.
Yeah, because I know she's performed at a couple award shows, so I don't like. She's more so, like, capable of it.
You need to have a captivating reason for why Lorde couldn't do a solo performance. I think I was reading.
Especially if you're nominated for Album of the Year.
Precisely. We've kind of gone enough over that. And, you know, Sean and I are pretty big Lorde fans. So we'll, you know, updates. We'll have those for you. Or, you know, we always do shows weekly. So you can just Google it yourself. But Marquis Smith of the Fall is dead at age 60. It was pretty it's been taken a lot of ways. Some say it's shocking, some say it's not. He's had this like kind of like wild past in history, and like being a like punk, post-punk, like British guy, like that's kind of gonna happen.
Right.
But he's just kind of seen as like this, you know, like one of those front people, especially for punk, that was just like very formative for a lot of people, was very inspirational for a lot of people. I didn't know this, but The Fall had 32 albums.
Yeah, no, they did a lot of fucking music. They did a lot. He was... Didn't he... Shit. I'm forgetting the song. Didn't he go with Gorillaz?
Glitter Freeze. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, because I remember watching that live show in 2010 or something. I'm like, wait, that shit, I didn't realize that was Marquis Smith who did that. And that's actually how I heard about him passing away, was Damon Albarn or the gorillas, whoever their Instagram person is, posted something. I'm like, wait, what the hell?
Yeah.
Dude, there's a like, there's a lot of musician deaths this year already. Damn, dog, it's rough, and a lot of them are pretty young too. That's the shitty part.
Yeah, it's always really like sad and shocking when these like things, like when these deaths occur, and especially when they're artists who have these wide spanning histories. It was actually
Right.
kind of crazy because Marky Smith, when he was doing Glitter Freeze 2009 2010 with Gorillaz, yeah, that would have been, he would have been 52, 53, something like that. Math, good words, numbers. And I listened to one of his clips from the fall. That was in 1980s, so it would have been 30 years before that, and he still got that same like kind of way he speaks, like even in, "It
Yeah.
was the glitter," and it's just like really weird. Like, not a lot of people can make a song work and basically like a talking voice like that, but he just like had one of those voices, and it's just
Oh,
like
yeah.
really, especially for post-punk, it's like trying to be like a different offshoot of punk. It's like that's the spirit of doing things differently. So, hats off in an audio-faced music sense to that.
Right. I mean, it's just sad, but it's been happening a lot this year, unfortunately. So I really don't want, I hopefully we don't have to do any more, like do anything else on it, but it's
At
kind of
least
bound
it's
to happen.
not what used to happen when we first started audio-faced, where like we
Oh,
would think of
God.
celebrity we would think of celebrities, and then like the next week or two, someone related to that conversation would die.
Oh,
And
God.
we were like, audio face before the bodies are even cold.
Dude, that was really bad. Well, let's go on to, I don't know how I'm gonna segue to this, but whatever. Let's,
Culture, culture, culture.
yeah, let's go on to culture two. Yay.
So this is going to be, so Migos, so they released an album, Culture, last year. They had I think some other, they had another, like, yeah, they had albums before, but like that was their big like breakout onto the scene, I would say. That's when I'd heard of them, at least.
Last year, yeah.
That went pretty well. They got a lot of
Was
like
like ba yeah, it was Bad and Boot.
collaborations.
Yeah, it's like Bad and Bougie was on Culture, because that's what kind of
Yeah.
got them out a lot, or at least that's when I heard about them a lot, was from that song.
And then I Got the Bag with Gucci Mane. That was probably one of the better songs on that album. Gucci Mane's like 35th work in 2017 that he
No, it's like
released.
108th work.
Yeah, don't know if that was like a mixtape, an LP, or just like, I don't know, like something on his flash drive, but whatever. And so like this has been a really hotly anticipated album, and it's 24 songs long, and the
Dude, this
intro
shit's
and
2 hours.
outro, it's legit 1 hour and 45 minutes long. And if you're on
That's weird.
Spotify, I noticed, well, I'll explain this later, but it's really interesting because they have, most of the time when an artist has like a Spotify profile and it's verified, it works and everything, the artist pick at the top of when you're scrolling will say like, "Oh, this is what you should listen to," and it's usually their album. And so they have that as a playlist on Spotify, which is interesting, because usually you would say, "Oh, the artist pick, Culture 2, out right now. Go click to listen to the album." But no, it takes you to a playlist, and on this playlist, like, it's a playlist created by Sean's favorite producer, Quality Control. And
Oh, Jesus, Moses. Quality control's rough. We're not gonna get into that. Please, no.
yeah, it's just an, like, I think it's just the, I don't know what's with it, but like songs appear on it multiple times.
Oh, the playlist thing?
Yeah, like
It's.
Motorsports at the top of the playlist and at the bottom. Like, I don't know, but it's some weird algorithmic shit. Let's get into the actual
Let's get
music
the
itself.
actual album. It's long as fuck. Like it start I'm sorry, I'm gonna go, I'm taking the ropes, fuck it, my podcast.
Yeah, this is gonna be great. I'm strapped in, ready to go.
It's long. You know me and trap. Or people who don't know. I'm not a fan of trap usually. It's very, very rare that I like it. Like I like 21 Savage because he's actually has some pretty good bars. He's low key woke. So I
His
like
beats
his
go
shit.
hard.
Yeah, and it his stuff sometimes blurs into one. That's a really good Radiohead song, or lyric. Then some of his stuff does blur into one, but it's not as bad as most other artists. Culture the second, or Culture two, Culture's Fi,
Kutusfy.
it kind of blur into one at one point for me. Like I go, it's just so long. I go, holy shit, what is this? Also, the song with 21 Savage was really rough. It was pretty bad.
Wait, what?
Bad Bitches Only featuring
Oh.
21.
What'd you think about that song?
I didn't like it. I think it was pretty rough. If what was this shit? I can't remember
Have the thing.
what song did you s to tell me to listen, whatever one you said something to me to listen to.
I think I might have sent the one I thought was most.
Whatever one it was, I can't. I have to look. I can't find it right now.
I'm looking, but keep
No.
talking.
Anyways, I'll just keep talking.
Yeah.
Granted, it wasn't like a starfuck like most trap albums and stuff have been lately. It's Future 21, Drake, The Goose Is Loose, Nicki Minaj,
Open it
Cardi
up.
B, Post Malone, fuck Post Malone, and 2 Chainz. Oh, and then Travis Scott, Ty Dolla $ign, and Big Sean on one song. So considering the album is 24 songs long, that's not much.
You think they were looking at the album? They're like, 24 songs. Do you want to cut it off here, or you think we should like?
Man, I was thinking like 34.
Dude.
I didn't like it, honestly. It's too much. Some of them went hard, and one of them I couldn't take seriously because it started out with like the weird bird skirt noises.
So that was Open It Up, by the way. Sorry, I like randomly blurted it out as you were talking,
Yeah,
but
thank you. That's what it is. Open it up.
yeah.
It starts off with bird noises. I'm like, all right, 21 was the first one
Triggered.
who did the first bird noise, and he did it right. Yeah. Also, if you have Post Malone on your album, you need to go home and rethink your life.
Yeah, why wasn't Post Malone blacklisted? Maybe this was recorded before that happened.
I swear he was.
I wonder if.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean,
Jesus.
if I were Post Malone, I would just like let them do the like recorded version of his voice for the song when Migos does it live, because he's gonna get booed off stage. Like, he's gonna have to pull a DJ Khaled. Like, they love me too much.
They love me too much. They didn't boo me off stage. This didn't happen. Fake news.
Jesus Christ, DJ. I can't. You know that'll start me.
Please don't.
But yeah, I'm surprised Post Malone isn't just straight blacklisted. That's funny.
He should be blacklisted. Yeah, I didn't like it.
Right.
It was annoying. Whatever. Sounds like normal trap. Such a blur
Right.
together. That's it. Nothing special, but a lot of fucking stupid people like it, so whatever.
I think this is probably one of the best trap albums ever made.
Damn.
This is why I was like, this might be a fun topic, because like we rarely ever disagree on this show, so like this is gonna be really fun.
And also because yeah, you do genuinely like trap. Like there is a place for trap. I just think it's so overdone now to where I'm like every other week I'm having to listen to the same shit over and over again.
Yeah, and it's been like, I think for especially because like you're getting into it a lot more, and because of the show, like in
I'm
the
having
mix
to
of
listen to it more.
you're just getting into the genre, and so like you're kind of getting into it slowly and on your own path. Like maybe you might like enjoy it more, or maybe you don't. Or won't. I don't know. But also because we're doing this show, we're having to like listen to a constant flow of it because like it's the hottest thing right now.
Yeah.
So like it's just a lot. But like also, you have a point, and I've like agreed with you that trap has this problem as a genre as being very like repetitive, and so that can hold true for this. I think 24 songs is a lot of work. There are definitely songs that didn't need to be in here. That being said, I think most of the songs in here were really solid. Like this is one of those songs where like I talk about albums where for genre, the whole album is so good that even one of the worst songs on the album would be one of the better songs on most other like for most other artists if they produce an album this year. Culture 2 is actually kind of like that. And so I listened to Culture 1 after listening to Culture 2 the first time, because I wanted to see, like, how similar they were. And I really don't like Culture 1. Other than, like, Bad and Bougie and the couple songs, it's really just, like, really repetitive, inundating trap. Like, it's really not good. What I like about Culture 2 is that it's honestly taking roots from, like, early 2000s, like, almost outcasty, like, southern, like, hip-hop. And that blend, I hadn't thought of it before because I don't make music for a living, but that blend with trap, maybe it's just because, like, that's where the roots are from, but it's really working together. Mm. And so, I think for Superstars, I think it works really well because, I guess the way I could describe it musically, Sean, is that whereas most trap is just like BBO, Bad Bitches Only, is a really good example. It's a classic 21 Savage song, which actually I kind of like, but hi, Horn. I knew that was going to happen. If I talk for a long period of time, a horn is going to be talking while I'm in the middle of a thought, and I don't feel like going back to thoughts, so it's not going to get edited out. Sorry, viewers, listeners. But Bad Bitches Only is a good example of like a classic like trap song, even though, right? And I said, like, I kind of like it, but it's like a really heavy, like, bass beat, and then like drums that are like kind of going kind of quickly in the back, like that, like that kind of thing. But what's different with Culture 2 is that it mixes kind of like more melodies and tones that are like kind of, yeah, it just reminds me of that era. I'm Googling an artist right now. No, that was Outkast. Like, a lot of the songs on Culture 2 reminded me of songs on Outkast from Stankonia, really. And it was really weird like that, but it kind of worked together most of the time. Sometimes it really didn't. So, like, Nothing is... I hate Nothing more than the song Walk It, Talk It. But it has Drake on it, and it has Migos on it, so it's probably going to be played as much as Shape of You was in 2017.
Oh, please, no.
So I'm going to have to keep some side-eye.
But hey, it's not as bad as Shape of You. I'll give him that.
It's...
Shape of You.
Worse, actually. I would rather listen to Shape of You 5 times on repeat than listen to Walk It, Talk It, honestly. I mean that as a fact. As much as I'm, like, enjoying this album, I mean that as a fact. Shape of You, I prefer it. But, let's see. Moving Too Fast, I really love. Song 18. It's really deep end, so maybe you just, like, gave up at that point. But I actually really did... I actually really didn't feel like it was repetitive at that point. I was still really enjoying it because to the extent that some songs kind of catered to their artists, like CC Gucci Mane, I'm sorry, Bam from We Made It Podcast, and maybe you'll have some other...
That's cool not his favorite rapper, apparently, but don't okay. Understand.
I know it's not his favorite rapper, but like he likes Gucci Mane more than I think I do, I found. And it just, all of his...
Just fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it, my podcast.
Exactly. Fuck it, my podcast.
All of his collaborations are just super repetitive, and I don't like that. He's not really bringing too much, but all in all, it just does so... It's finally the trap album that does the most different with the genre, while still, like, remaining, like, really good. And, we complain about that all the time. And so I see that in it, and so... I'm, like, really feeling good with it. I don't know how you want to arbitrary score. If you want to, like, rebuke, like, I don't know if you have any, like, disagreements, but...
No, I mean, you listen to a lot more trap than I have, obviously. So that's why I usually go... I like to hear what you have to say, so it kind of opens up my mind a little bit more. Also to what to listen to. But, yeah, again, it wasn't my thing. I didn't like it, but that's just me. It wasn't the worst trap album by far, God no. I can appreciate some of the musicality of it for sure, but it's still like just really annoying and repetitive. I mean, it's not the worst, which is Quality Control. Jesus Christ, that's the worst album I've ever.
You know, Quality Control produced this album though, right?
Yeah, and that's probably why I hate it, honestly.
I mean, Young Metro's on a couple, but
yeah, it's not Without Warning, Young Metro. Where I'm like, I'm going to shoot my head if I hear Young Metro one more fucking time.
Oh, man. So, arbitrary score. You want to do letter grades? keep it simple.
Sure. I'll give it like A through F.
Yeah.
American school system standard. Yeah. Yeah. I'll give it like a C minus. C.
I give it an A minus.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna give it a solid A minus. Now I it's more of my thing against the entire genre.
Right. It's your warpath.
My warpath. We really should actually make that a discussion topic sometime. Is why Sean hates trap.
I think we could incorporate that into our later discussion topic today, actually, because part of the reason rock is dead, and rock is thought of as the default genre for so long. But then rap kind of came, and then rap had it. And then, last year, it was just super obvious. Like, every single metric showed that the ridiculous classification of hip-hop R&B, which for some reason,
just is stupid. It's a fucking stupid
SZA category. And, SZA and Migos and Solange and Kendrick Lamar are Kendrick all hip-hop and R&B. That's a ridiculous thing. But nevertheless, that genre is taking over now, and rock isn't. So is rock dead? Should it be?
We'll discuss that in a bit.
Exactly.
Oh, shit, my mouse died.
So speaking of doing it for the culture.
Whoa!
I just want to throw a curveball in Otto's face because it's just kind of amazing. So Questlove. From the Roots is being sued for racial discrimination from the Tonight Show, according to a report.
Damn.
Yeah. Apparently, two white staffers are complaining that he asked them to be fired because he's upset with them for some reason. Okay. And NBC allegedly complied. Questlove says that the accusations are, quote, ridiculous. It's, I need to tread extremely carefully here because usually you know what my hot take would be, right?
Actually, I don't know. What would your hot take be? Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. You think NBC is going to be like, oh shit, Questlove hates these two associate producers. Let's fire them.
They don't give a fuck.
Dude, NBC let Matt Lauer have a button at his desk that locked his door so he could sexually harass women. NBC don't give a fuck. Okay? That's my usual hot take. That being said, no, maybe this is just me being too much in my Ben Shapiro world because I've been editing this video too long. But what if Questlove was such a valuable part of NBC and NBC realized, hey, we're going into social justice culture now, and so black people have a huge say at the National Broadcasting Corporation. And if Questlove wants these two guys fired. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
My hands are on my head right now because this thing took off way faster than I thought it would.
Sean, what do you think?
I don't give a fuck. Whatever. Sure, he's racist. Cool. Move on, please.
So even if he is... I'm questioning the validity of this story because really preposterous.
No, I was reading it. I'm like, there's literally nothing gives me... nothing says shit on... What happened?
Right now it's a he said, she said. You know, audio face, we're on the pulse of these stories. We'll update you if there's anything else.
Yeah, but I'm just reading the article. I'm like, where's the poop? What's up? You gotta show it to me. Then I can talk shit.
It reminds me of... No, I'm not going to get into that. It's very odd. I was like... I originally wanted to be careful telling him about the racism thing because I'm doing a little bit of the topic of racism in my next Dan for the Internet video. Oh, Sean, you hate me, don't you?
Yes, so much.
Facebook.com/Dan for the Internet. Spotify has some new rules on remixes, which I think is one of the more interesting stories of the week as far as like industry stuff that we cover on Audioface from time to time, because Spotify and remixes have always had like this interesting relationship, because when you're using a remix, clearly you're using another artist's song in some way, and those rights aren't usually gotten perfectly, and usually lawsuits don't happen, but as long as you make a certain amount of money off of it, like off the streaming thing, then usually you don't have a problem, which has made SoundCloud a whole great thing slash problem, and it's made Spotify a whole great thing slash problem, and so, you know, it's just all over the place. But anyways, it'll count plays towards monthly listeners. So previously, according to your EDM, streams of a remix would not count towards a remixer's monthly listens number, but any remixer will earn towards their monthly listener number with their remix streams. So basically what this means is that before, if someone listened to a remix that you did on Spotify, it wouldn't add to your overall metrics, and so you wouldn't like show up on any charts. Now, if you do have a remix, it'll start showing up on the chart. So basically, that's a huge shift for allowing electronic music, which is a very remix-heavy genre specifically, allow it to actually start to compete better on the charts with Spotify, which is great.
No, I think, yeah, but that's our whole thing of DJs, how they don't get, I don't want to say credit, but they're hard for them to get their metrics and how much they can make and stuff, because they don't really make albums, per se. They make mixes or this or that, which is its own art form in itself, to find something that sounds good when you mix it with something that you've produced, or two songs or six songs that you all think if you put together in certain parts would sound good. I mean, that's what house music is, basically, which is my one of my favorite genres.
Mine
but
too.
There's no albums for sure that you can't there's no one really makes albums for it. So this is a good way for them to get the credit that they deserve for it, because it's its own art. I mean, that's why you have a lot of deluxe versions of albums that will have remixed some songs on there, and they give credit to those people. And with that, it's like the artist himself saying, hey, look, this person remixed my shit, I like it, I'm gonna put it on my deluxe version and give him a little credit. And I think that's really good, especially for electronic artists to finally start to get some recognition that they deserve, and to really start charting a bit better, because that's one thing where when we've looked at charts and stuff before, it's hard to get a grasp of where electronic music is per se, because like trap, you can find like trap rock, alt rock, whatever, hip-hop, R&B, you know, Sauviter, all of the categories, you can put a label on it basically, because these people write albums or make albums, I should say. With EDM, with electronic, whatever falls into the category of electronic, most of them don't make albums, or if they do like weird EPs or different mixes, you can't really document them nearly as much. So this is at least one way to get a little bit more into that, so we can get some decent numbers and really see where it falls into the world of music. Because I think a lot of people still don't think of electronic as big as it is. So I think it's overdue for getting the credit it deserves. And this is pretty cool from Spotify to do. I'm kind of surprised that they've actually done something like this. I like it. It's cool.
I have 2 points about this that are really interesting to what you said. One, I think this kind of shows, because we've done Spotify stories for a while.
Since the dawn of the podcast.
Yeah. Just like kind of covering, because like, A, there's like one of our favorite music platforms. Fucking pay your artists. But still, like, they're one of our favorite platforms as a consumer to use. And since they've started growing, they've gotten more power in the music industry. We were just talking about earlier how they might get into their own label thing. I mean, like, they're scaling up. They're making big moves. And so now they have the ability to do this kind of thing,
right?
Which is like, you know, kind of like one of those good forces that's kind of happening, you know. Again, to an extent, we still have problems with making sure artists get paid, making sure some other things about privacy, and I'm sure there are other issues with Spotify writ large, But god damn it, I was
that you guy. How are you always that guy? How are you, the tech man, always that guy who unmutes his fucking laptop every time? That's like 7 in a row now. Jesus. Learn your shit, man. You're supposed to be Dan from the internet. You're supposed to know how the internet works. I have 15 tabs open on my computer. Not one of them are yelling at me. Jeez.
Jesus, roast me. Oh my god. Yeah,
sorry.
No,
I gotta roast my co-host counterpart every once in a while. I gotta keep him on edge. He gotta know that he's treading on water out here. He doesn't know.
Hashtag Dan is wrong, Tor.
People don't even know how many fucking jokes I made. I still make jokes. Every podcast, I still have to say something on the Dan is Wrong tour. And it's beautiful. You'll get yours today in a little bit. You'll hear it.
So my second point was that, and also doing the show, I've also learned about how much the way the industry is framed and how that affects consumption. And how, like, a move like this can be so monumentally shifting. And so, like, even, like, I don't know about you, but, like, in doing this show, I've had to, like, learn to make sure, hey, like, just with politics, like, I have to make sure I'm going to a bunch of different sources. Otherwise,
right. Yeah.
What I'm seeing of music, even though the same story, is very skewed. And, of course, every single source, even in music, something that isn't really, like, super partisan, per se, haven't gotten too big in editorials yet, because, like, I don't really care about anyone's opinions other than Sean and I's, but and occasionally Bam and Caesar's, because they did a music podcast.
And Tammy.
And Tammy, of course. He should definitely guest on the show again sometime soon. We'll make that.
Oh, happen. She definitely will when I'm gone. Like, 100%.
That was a popular episode.
Really?
But what I was trying to say was that it's like we were talking about earlier with how hip-hop and R&B are just really, like, it's a dumb category. And the industry still has these dumb, antiquated categories. And Spotify is being on the forefront of the industry. Like, it's going to kind of, Spotify might be the Amazon of music soon, where they have such crazy vertical integration. They're the label, they're the distribution platform, they're all these other things. Like, it could easily be like that. And so,
right.
Never mind all of the inherent evil that implies, because I'm not, like, looking to Amazon as, like, a star example of what a company should aspire to be, per se.
Never, ever I'm just try looking, to like, be Amazon.
That's what the landscape might look like for music if Spotify gets their ultimate way. And that kind of, like, easy shift where it's like, hey, we're just going to make this metric count a little bit differently, that is going to really make a difference. Like, you're going to be able to see, because electronic music doesn't have albums and things, you're going to be able to see more electronic artists kind of get to play toe-in-toe with some of the big guys in hip-hop and R&B and rock, which may or may not be dead. We'll figure that out soon. All these things. It's really cool. Sorry that went on kind of long, but, like, I just wanted to definitely make that point because it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, blah, I can't fucking speak words. I just hope that it's a good change in the right direction for electronic artists, basically. Like, to get a little bit more.
I don't see how it couldn't be.
No, I think it is. That is the coolest. That is one of the best pictures of Johnny Greedo I've seen in a long time. So
explain your misery.
All right, it's not as misery as misery itself, but it's pretty close. So Jonathan Guy Greenwood, who is the greatest musician of our lifetime, by far. Most diverse, like, Duke could do nil. He announces a live performance of Phantom Thread score. He's joined by the London Contemporary Orchestra. Fuck my life. and he... So they're going to be in London's Royal Festival Hall on January 31st. And then also they have two live dates in, like, February 25th or 6th in Brooklyn, but I don't think he's going to be there per se. And then one in LA, March 1st or 2nd, something like that. And I'm not sure if he's going to be on that one.
These are live performances of the music to Phantom Thread to the, like, is it at film screening? So they'll be playing the music while the film is screening.
Yes. And
why won't you be seeing it?
Because I'm a professional triathlete who has to race in Florida. I can't see it when he's going to be here in LA performing one of the greatest movies I've seen in a very long time with the best soundtrack I've heard in a decade.
Which we reviewed a couple episodes ago on Audioface. Definitely listen to that.
Please listen to it. It's so, Phantom Thread's soundtrack is so unbelievably good. Also, the film this is amazing, too. But
this year on Audioface, we're going to be doing a lot more music things, too, because we're going to do Black Panther. It comes out around Valentine's Day. But not to get you off of your... No, this is just fun to watch, like, you explain your own, like, misery and, like, be angry at yourself when you talk. So please proceed.
Yeah, they're playing in L.A. I'm going to be on a plane to Florida. I can't see
In your backyard, and you're going to the other coast because you really like running in spandex.
Because I have to run around the world in spandex for a living. Just happens to be that weekend that I have to race, and there's some shit. Fuck me. Let me check. Yeah. This is the second set is for the theater at Ace Hotel in Los Angeles on March 2nd. Also, the entirety of Greenwood's score, along with selections by Brahms, Schubert, Fauré, and Debussy. Fucking kill me. I can't see it. Oh my god.
Might I be believe he time. Also got nominated for...
Also, I was about to say award, that. Right? He got nominated for an Oscar for his soundtrack, which he better win. Also, fuck the Oscars, because I hate award shows.
Also, and, not like we care.
No, I really don't care. As long as Daniel Day-Lewis wins and John Greeno wins, then that's all that matters. But who cares? Because people have really shitty taste in everything. So I'm salty.
Let's get back into music.
Let's get back into Django Django, something I can listen to and not get to see live. But, you know, not like I want to anyways. All right, salty show.
This is an album that is...
Dude.
Here's what it doesn't have in common with Culture 2. It's an hour and 5 minutes shorter.
It is a solid 40-minute album. I don't even know what genre I want to put this in. Alternative rock, experimental rock, indie rock.
Electronic-ish.
Experimental indie rock is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
I call it the music becomes eclectic.
I call it the genre. Trippy synth pop genre.
Which is what half of MBEA plays is shit like this. So I'm just literally called the MBE.
It's your bread and... It's a little bit of our bread and butter.
It's my bread and butter. He sent me Django Django. I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard a couple songs, or like a little bit on him from MBE, of course. And I didn't realize that it was coming out right now. I thought it was coming out in February. Marble Skies from Django Django. 40 minutes long. Let me check how many songs. 10 songs, so pretty short and sweet. Kind of like Porches last week. Same thing, pretty short and sweet.
Yeah.
Which I like. People, please don't make... If it's over an hour, it has to be Hail to the Thief. Good. Okay.
I have about a 1 hour 15.
It has to be really good for hour 15. And I'll give it to them if the songs are long. If they're like a couple 5 or 6 minute songs in there, I'll give that to you.
No, but like your album has to be a complete work.
It has to be... Yeah, it has to be...
Like, it has to tell a story. It has to, like, go in and out. But with this album, I don't know, do you want me to go first? I feel like you go first with a lot of reviews. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I want you to go first. I almost always go first, so...
I just do that kind of by nature. It's, like, working on those, like, habits. But
right.
This album doesn't go that much as... It doesn't play well through... How do English words good? It doesn't play that well as an album... through to me, but okay. That being said, it sounds really good. Like, it all has this nice beat. Every single song's kind of going, I don't know, this is gonna sound weird, but every single song feels like it's looking in a different direction but staying on the same path, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very eclectic, to say the least.
Yes.
I mean, I like it a lot, but there's a couple songs that, like, just didn't, like, go right together, if that makes sense. It was... some of the songs were all over the place, a couple of them going together just did not go well at all. Like the first song, Marble Skies, is really upbeat type of electronic alternative, and then Surface to Air is like really more acoustic-y with female vocals in it. I go, whoa, what the hell? So that was kind of the theme of an album where it did not gel together
What the
well at
hell, not
all.
not what the hell, not as in oh my god, female vocals, just to make it clear, you're not well-known sexist Sean
Oh
Paul.
no, exactly. I'm
But
like,
like it's just like it's a change.
as in I'm like, wait, what? Like it didn't fit together. As in, no, some of my favorite bands have female vocalists. The fuck? Yeah, it really didn't go well together, but all the songs in it were well done. So like the theme of the album was just really eclectic and strange, that the way they tried to put the songs together in. You could have redone the lineup of it easily and made it flow a little bit more, but overall it's solid. I like it. Just whoever like said put these songs here, redo
So,
it.
hold. So, Beam Me Up and In Your Beat, which I actually was my favorite part of the album in general, because like Beam Me Up is like
That's a
this,
good song.
it's like this elect. You like I feel like listening to that song, you felt like it was a song I would like on this album the most. It's just like one of those, just like definitely, it's a dance song. But the way it fades into In Your Beat, I thought was done really cleverly, and like it just really changes the mood well while still like being really seamless. Like I said, I like listening to albums, and part of the reason I like listening to albums, I like to see how songs transition and how like you go from one idea to the next and how that's translated through sound. And that was like the one good place they did it. I agree with you and much else that while the other songs were okay, it was just too much of a range. Like in my head, when I'm reviewing albums, I have like say you have the first and the fourth quadrant of a graph. So you just have like on the y-axis, the top half is positive, the top half is negative. I kind of just think of albums where I plot each song as to what vibe that gave. And ideally, you want it to be like a smooth line as possible. This had too many like extreme ups and downs. And Beam Me Up In Your Beat was like the closest to a smooth thing. But in its quest to be eclectic and do some different things,
Oh,
it
it's definitely
stayed
done
true
that.
to its own sound, but it seemed what I was trying to kind of say earlier was that like it was on a path, it was looking in different directions, and like all these different directions were kind of random. And it's not, I guess it's, I'm trying to get to the inattentiveness. You're not paying attention and focusing, which I think the album could have benefited from, but it's like still works together. Together in a way that I guess it sounds like it's from a same artist. Like sometimes you can make songs like this doesn't even sound like the same artist. Like where is your sound, right? They don't have that problem at least. It's not that scatterbrained, but it's just definitely missing focus, if that makes sense. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if that's, I assume that's what they're going for, eclectic craziness, and that definitely did have that. Just for me, I think I wish it would flow more, like a little bit more, as in be like not just surprise after surprise, which is cool in its own way. I do like that, but
Yeah.
with like, I don't know, I don't know if it fits together as an album. But anyways, our arbitrary scores, if I can English words good.
For
Do
me,
are we still doing letter grades? Are we doing
yeah,
like,
we keep it consistent through the episode, but
yeah,
we'll change it.
last time
I
was
give it.
failed US invasions, and that was rough.
Oh man. That was
Jesus.
Oh yeah, that was Fall Out Boy. Because I tried to forget listening to that album so much, I honestly
Oh,
almost
I didn't listen
forgot.
to the album. I listened to two songs and I quit. But anyways.
was lit. Wow. Yeah, it's I want to give this a C plus, I would say.
Damn,
It's
that's
like a borderline C plus. Maybe it could have been a B minus, because the songs themselves were like decent and they're nice to listen to. It was just like we could have just like hit random and it might have been a better order as long as you keep the two songs I mentioned earlier together.
yeah. So mine is a solid C. Beat. That was actually funny. You beat me to it, because what I do with an album, I don't, for those new listeners, is I listen to it top to bottom, normal as you would, and then I hit shuffle afterwards to see if the sound changes much. Because if it's a really, really good album, I can hit shuffle and it still sounds like the same album in a way, as in like the album's theme, the what it's going for, this or that. Certain ones, obviously, you just can't do that. And I'll give that like a grain of salt. But this one was so eclectic that shuffle, it's still like, whoa, what the hell am I listening to? Did like something else pop on? I had to check my phone a couple of times, make sure that I was still listening to the same album. So that's why I gave it a solid C. Like, it was damn good songs in there, but a little too eclectic. Like, I get it. Morning becomes eclectic, good shit, but I don't need you to go always crazy.
Too eclectic.
Too eclectic, yep.
I get you.
You fucked up this new link, sir.
Did I really? Oh, wow. Well, anyway, Julian Casablancas has a band that has a really cool name that I will know about shortly. God damn it, I lost the thing. Fuck, I really... Oh, The Voids. There we go, The Voids.
Stupid.
God. I haven't spun out like that in a while.
You really haven't, like, straight 180'd your brain like that in a very long time.
No. What happened was I was Googling. Okay, it's in the rundown now. So, stupid. While you read up on it really fast, I was Googling, and I usually put the links in a doc for Sean to see. I tell him, we talk about the stories throughout the week, like, oh, is this worried about being on the show? Is this not? And then I put together on a doc, and then Sean gets to see it, and then we can, you know, react and talk about it, right? But, if I forget to put the link in because I'm doing 100 other things like I am right now, then it just all gets messy. And so I was Googling it, but the link wasn't showing up. And I knew this is Julian Casablancas' side project. I didn't know about The Voids, which is what it's called. They have a new album called Virtue, and it's coming out in March, I believe.
Oh, really?
And yeah, they released a single from that, and it's very much... You'll remember Julian Casablancas from the Daft Punk song. I'm pretty sure Instant Crush.
Yes, should be Instant Crush, yeah. That's when you put Julian Casablancas. Okay.
Right?
I'm not going to try it. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. That's the guy who featured on Daft Punk. That's how I've heard of him. That's pretty. What the hell is it called? What's the song? Oh, there it is. Finally. It wasn't popping up on my...
Let's call it Curious.
Yeah.
Hi, motorbike. Like,
as in Curious, Q-Y-U-R-R-Y-U-S. For those of you wondering how they spell Curious.
That's fun.
Anyway, sorry to totally derail you.
Yes, sorry. I don't know. I guess, I don't know if you were able to listen to it because I didn't put it in the rundown, actually.
No, I actually wasn't because I just forgot. to be honest.
It's like at about the same beats per minute as Instant Crush, so it's like that kind of like beat, I guess. And I like it. It's like a really interesting, definitely not like as electronic as a Daft Punk song would be, like more alternative-ish, I could say. But that'll definitely be interesting to listen to. Comes out the end of March. That'll be a fun week. I don't know if I could do an episode that week, but we'll figure it out. Oh wait, no, we definitely could. Anyways, and lastly, our last news thing before we get into, are you ready for this?
Hmm.
The last news thing before we get into, wait, did I fuck up the link again? No, I just went to, yeah, I screwed up the link again.
I hate you.
But basically, Donald Trump, so Jay-Z was on a show on CNN. And made some, like, very mild comments on Donald Trump. And so Donald Trump, you know, spun out into a frenzy. And basically Trump and Jay-Z are having a fight. And it's not important to talk about. This is a music show. We actually did a pretty good job of not really sticking into politics. But welcome to 2018.
Who gives a fuck? He's a celebrity, so whatever. Cool.
Which one?
Both. Anyways. Our discussion topic, which we haven't done in a long time. Ben and I have been wanting to talk about this for a while. We also, next week or the week after, we're going to do one on classical music again because he fucked up and accidentally deleted it. So we're gonna redo that one. And actually,
hands down the worst episode of Audio Face.
Hands down the worst episode of Audio Face, as in you have to make a 2-minute bloop of saying you fucked up. One of the greatest conversations we've ever had in life, where I felt smarter than I've ever did in a long time. But we'll have that conversation again, and I have more bars to drop. But anyways.
I can't wait.
So it's Rock Dead. So this is the thing that I questioned this to Dan back in 2012, I believe. Whenever Foo Fighters released their album before last year. So that was like 2012, 2013, something like that.
I'll double check you.
Yeah. Actually, I can even look, because I totally forget the name of it.
I'm looking right now. Was it Wasting Light? Because 2014 was Sonic Highways. And I remember Sonic Highways was really rough.
Was it 2014? I thought it was a little bit earlier than that, but it might be then.
2011 was Wasting Light. The one with Back and Forth.
It might have been about that. Yeah, I think it was about 2011 was the first time I really talked about it. But
that would have been the right era too, because 2014, like, you could tell something was like, rock was definitely not dominant in the airwaves.
It's right? 2014, but, yeah, because 2011, I was starting to think of it, but I thought it was more alternative was kind of taking the toll. But then 2014, I remember asking you this, where I go, is rock like gone? Like, can anybody revive it? Because I realized that a lot of the albums coming out were more indie or alternative, but nothing hard rock or anything. And then that's when electronic started to really take the beat, no pun intended. When we went to Hard Summer, and I go, holy shit, I never thought I would see this many people at an electronic music festival in my life. And since then,
it's just Hard Summer.
And that was 2014, because now it's even exploded more. But anyways, we wanted to have this because I think it is, in my opinion. I think it's really, like, just gone. Especially with our generation and what you hear most people listening to. And a lot of the new artists who are making the money, who, if you look on Spotify, that's just one example. You can look at who are all the people that get listened to the most. And you don't really... granted, rock was never going to be at the top, because it's not, like, top 40 shit, but, a couple of the songs will always jump in there. But the past 2 years especially, it's gone really down with popularity. Well, not per se popularity, but as in...
Influence.
Yeah, thank you. I was about to say, as in the culture.
The number of, like, acts and artists who are, like, actively out there. Because, let's not forget, because we don't forget, because really the biggest rock act to come out of last year was Queens of the Stone Age. That was like kind of the best album that was rock, that was really even worth mentioning. We talked a little bit about U2, but like that album wasn't...
Yeah, and a couple other, and like Foo Fighters album was crap, so like stuff like that where artists who used to be like the creme de brulee, the top of the top of rock... Their new albums weren't that great, really. Queens of the Stone Age was one of the few exceptions. Muse, when they released a couple new things this past year, were good, but their 2015 album was kind of crap. But anyways, he brought up something very interesting that I want to get into.
Before you get into that,
you go into it, yeah, because that'll go into
there's
spiral.
There's one little, because, while you're just putting that together, I was going to also look at a list of highly rated rock albums for 2017 to see if, like, I even know any of these, but that'll be after you make your other point. What I want to say is that when we originally wanted to do this but realized we just didn't have time to, I noted that, like, Cardi, this was the week when Cardi B was, like, in the middle of getting a bunch of different Billboard records.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, look at how different this is. Like, we used to think of who was, like, the crazy superstars, like, charting Billboards, like, back in the 60s. Like, Elvis, and you had, like, those rockers and the Beatles. And, like, rock, that kind of, you have a person with, like, you have a drummer, and you have a guitarist, and you have a bassist, and you have, like, a front person. That kind of way of doing music has been very ingrained in kind of Western music culture for kind of like 50 years almost. and with the resurgence of like electronic kind of like fun squeaking noise outside, with electronic being kind of like an underbelly to all of it, especially in the 70s and 80s, which, you know, especially with Spotify's changes today and some other things going on, electronic might soon see its time as well, or like be a parallel to it all. We can have a big conversation about genres, but really, like, hip hop is now seeing its big insurgence where, like, I don't know, I don't want to get all like Francis Fukuyama here, but like, do we see the end of hip hop in 20 years? Like, is that what this is going to be like? Where in 20 years, it's like, oh wow, remember when like Cardi B used to be on top? Now it's like squidgy exploding raptors, whatever is the native's latest electron EDM artist or something, right?
It's gonna be upside down question mark it's gonna be emoji poop. That's gonna be the new right? artist in 20 years or whatever. Who knows what the world's gonna be in 20 years.
Like, and what was I gonna say? El Gato the Human Glacier was like,
oh, fucking kill me.
It like broke a Billboard record, I believe. It was his 10th, it was his 18th top 10 debuting, or like 18th top 10 album. So even though we thought that was bad, like, it was really heavily consumed. And so that all goes to what you're saying about like rock and all of this. That was just like more context I wanted to add.
So I'm going to have a couple points here that are about to be cool. Bars. First is trap is taking over 100%. You like what do a lot of people listen to. That's what it is. That's what's charting, this and that. You can't deny that. Second, I think one of the biggest themes too is the culture of music in general, where it influences sports, that influences, it can influence politics in its own way, it can influence so much. The thing of hip-hop, R&B, trap, whatever, it's because it's so broad now, and it's really taking over kind of the whole world in music, in sports arenas. When you hear players warming up and stuff, or even in hockey, you hear people playing rap, people playing trap in the stuff for warm-ups. You hear it in basketball, super heavy. I mean, music and basketball go hand in hand. They always have, but now especially with trap artists and stuff, they're like, that's how some of them have gotten famous, is from doing diss songs on basketball players or this or that.
No, so literally, really fast, They, mm-hmm. who was an artist I was really loving last year that I talked about a lot.
Yeah.
I said, like, their album was really cool because they spanned a lot of genres and they, you know, had elements of rap, elements
yeah, they
of
were R&B, really cool.
Elements of Nirvana even. But You Right, which was their most trappy song on the album, which is a song I love, but it was the most trappy. The NFL picked it up and started using it in their commercials, and now they're, like, getting really big off of that. So, like, that confirms your point. Like, I saw it with my own eyes with an artist that, like, that was their first album. It was doing well, but then that NFL deal they did, and it was a very diverse album, but their trappiest song. Like, that album had straight rock and guitar and, like, acoustic things, and they were singing on it. But it's, yeah, like, goes to show the sign of the time that, like, the trappier song is, like, what really got in there.
And that's what is really, really taking off, yeah, because I hear all the time whenever I go to different arenas to watch sports, and whenever, even at some of my races, I hear that a lot. Because before, what did you hear most of the time? You heard rock. A lot of it, especially baseball, American football, NHL, whatever. You heard that most of the time. But now, even in sports where you wouldn't think it would be taken apart, that's where you're really hearing rap, trap, hip-hop, R&B are really taking their ropes. And it's really, that's what's really, really taking part. I mean, that's where you see the headliners of most of these festivals are going to be those artists, unless you have a Radiohead, basically, who's the best band in the world, still, forever. Or you have maybe a Muse or something. They have to be so big to really headline that event. The rest are going to be pop, hip-hop, R&B, trap. That's what's really, really taking off. So with rock, it's not nearly as big as it once was, and all I see is it getting smaller and smaller, because even some of the greater artists who really influenced rock back in its early days and throughout the mid-2000s, their latest stuff isn't good at all. Even if people who love rock to death say, oh, I'll just keep listening to Zepp or whatever, I won't listen to the new shit because it's not good. They'll try it,
Is that a symptom of the genre? I think that could be a conversation. Or is that the same thing I was having with Doom, where it's like, I know that artists after a certain point, like, they just do it too long, and a lot of them just, like, can't keep doing it that long, and then becoming stale.
I think it's an accumulation of everything, as in the culture is changing, and rap culture has really started to influence... It's influencing everything, to where that's what all of the stars are, like,
is producing the soundtrack for a Marvel Disney superhero movie.
Yeah, exact stuff like that, where it's taking everything by storm. Stuff you would never even think to affiliate itself with it is, and there's no stopping it. And then the problem with rock, the genre in general, is a lot of those big artists, they aren't creative enough because they don't expand outside of hard rock itself. That's why I was sort of disappointed with Muse in 2015 with Drones, because they reverted back to their old sound, and I really hated that album because it was super bland and stale. In 2012 when they made the second Law, it was good because I go, wow, they're really trying to make an evolution and keep up with the times and try all this new technology out and make rock out of that, which you can do, but not nearly enough. Maybe 5% of rock artists are actually doing that. They're trying to change
in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Like, in a vacuum, I think in a vacuum, that Muse album was, like, good for the fact that it was a, like, hard alternative, like, heavy rock band trying to, like, branch out a bit. But it got a lot of backlash at the time, because I think it was released at a
real... That was 2012, like, too. That's a while... That's 6 years ago when the second Law came out. Think of how much music has changed. I think if the second Law came out right now, people would love it.
I don't. I was actually about to say, I don't think the second Law is any better or worse of an album. I just think that part of the backlash that Muse got is the fact that... I think that if the second Law were released now, the pivot that Muse made would be a little more forgiven. It would be like, okay, well, a lot of artists are doing this now. Maybe you could say Muse was breaking a frontier. I don't really say so. Like, jumping a genre to sound different isn't really that, like, amazing per se, or like something like revolutionary that Muse pioneered, but like it's interesting for Muse to do in a vacuum. It wasn't really well received because I don't think
people weren't ready for
it. I don't think Muse did it well because, in addition to trying to being new and different, they also included like these long, big orchestral pieces, and it's like you can't have
no. They definitely did it. There's a couple songs that I'm. There's two songs that shouldn't have been on there, basically, that I think would have made the album amazing. But, I mean, we're going off on a completely crazy tangent.
Right, but we were using this as an example of rock trying to evolve and trying to be different, and most of the time it falls flat in its face. Like, Second Law critically fell flat in its face. And then, like, Moo, Foo Fighters, and U2, and, like, et cetera, the big rock acts, not really doing it.
No, not really. And, there's not much shit that's coming out that has changed. I'm talking about just rock in general, not alternative rock, because you have fucking Radiohead getting better every album somehow.
And not only that, I think indie is able to take control of this kind of vacuum, because, like, indie's always going to be there. You know, there's going to be, you know, this indie, but then it's going to be like, hey, this is indie, this is really good.
There's a lot of acts that, like, Silver Sun Pickups released an album last year, 2 years ago, that was really good. I think if rock in general is basically shifting from anything to alternative and indie, because that's if especially people our age, if they listen to that, that's what they, most of them are listening to, are indie or alternative rock. I think hard is just, there's not enough differentiation
When you get into the harder styles in like any genre with like rap or anything, like
it's, naturally like, it's gonna start person. Getting stale. I mean, how long has rock been going on? Since the 60s, 50s even. So 60 years of it, it's evolved, it's changed, but now it's there's not much else you can do unless you bring in electronic elements into it, or you try to do something else, but not enough of those artists, the big name artists especially, are willing to try and change, are willing to do something different. Like Foo Fighters is a great example of it. That's why I hated their album last year, because it was just so unbelievably stale. I'm like, this isn't 2006 anymore, you know.
Linkin Park as well, I remember. And I mean, we kind of like that got overshadowed by everything that happened. But like,
yeah, that sucked. Like, as in,
everything about it sucked. But like, the album as well did. Like, we didn't like
that. We didn't like it. There's a couple good songs on it, but it, yeah, stale too.
That's around the time we were joking about Trap Snare, because we were like, why is Trap Snare in rock all of a sudden? Because it was like a bad attempt at trying to make
that. Well, it wasn't even just in rock. It was the main thing. This was more an alternative rock than hard rock. And I guess you could put Linkin Park as kind of both.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, there might be like the one metal like fan listening to this podcast. Like, why are they talking about Linkin Park as hard rock, right? But like, I'm talking about definitely gradations. I know there are gradations. Like, I'm not saying Linkin Park is the same as like Tool per se, or like the same as like, right? But like, they're definitely gradations. Linkin Park is definitely no...
Well, I mean, Crawling and stuff, they definitely... The first album is definitely hard rock. They evolved... Yeah. Linkin Park is a very interesting case, because they evolved their sound pretty well up until a point. They kept changing it and doing different things, added alternative elements, more electronic stuff. They also had a DJ in it. It's like, kind of like Incubus. And it wasn't... But then they kept going a little... like back and forth, and couldn't really make up their mind on what sound they wanted to make, and that's why a lot of things became super stale. And then they would go with the biggest trend that everyone else was going with, and that was a problem. Especially this past album is a stupid fucking trap snare that everybody kept using, and it got really blurred into one, to where even a lot of alternative or indie artists, like the one that disappointed me the most, holy shit, why am I blanking on the name? Who made Torches? Fucking A. God damn it. What's the album?
That's embarrassing.
I can literally see it. Foster the People. Foster People, their latest album, they had that trap snare on so many songs. I'm like, oh my god, like doing it for their money. I go, who the hell is this? And they said, oh, it's new Foster People. You've got to be kidding me. What?
It was amazing stuff... that was Foster People. I still can't believe that, because it's like
I literally just bad... like I, it was so unbelievably bad and disappointed me beyond belief, because they made some damn good indie rock, and they kept with the stupid trap snare thing, and a lot of artists kept doing the same thing with that, and that was our whole thing of last year, kind of the theme, and I think that's plaguing rock too, where. Some people will try to change their shit, but then they go into what's popular, and you can't mix the two together without getting something very repetitive or really annoying sounding. And this, I mean, no one's made a good sound yet that blends it together, if that makes any sense. Like, Incubus released 8 this past year, and it was a good album, but it's going to get overlooked by a lot of people compared to trap, where, I mean, that's what most people are listening to now, and right. I think trap is definitely going to hit the brakes pretty hard. I think it's going to have the rock of people are going to start to realize, wow, this really starts to sound the same. I hope people do, because Jesus Christ, to me, I've listened to it for 2 years and I'm like, this is I'm over it, this is annoying. And I think it's going to kind of have a similar trajectory of rock. So it'll be around for a while. It's not going to stop anytime soon. But I think people are going to start to grow tired of it, because there's only so much you can do with it. And especially how many artists are dropping an album every year, 2-3 albums a year. That's so much music. Because rock, that kept happening too, to where you'd have so many artists. You didn't have the artists dropping an album every year or so, but you have a couple of years, but there was just an influx of artists that now it's just blended into one, basically. They staled out the genre, which happens. Just definitely, there's a limit of how much you can do with that. So I think they've pretty much hit the limit.
I have this philosophical question that I'm wondering, like, to close out, if you could help me answer this, is that, and we touched on this a little bit, where, like, with the Radiohead Lana Del Rey thing, like, is there such a thing as too many sounds? Like, have we created all the sounds? Like, has rock as a genre been exhausted, and that's why it hasn't been being pushed forward?
Well, for rock itself, yes, because there's only somebody who plays the instrument too. There's only so many things you can do in a guitar to keep it rock sounding. Muse tried a lot in the Second Law, and they were, to me, they were pretty close in changing the genre in a way, but people weren't ready / willing for it to change. Because, you know, look what Matt Bellamy did with his guitar. He added, like, that weird, crazy effect onto it. But then within this, you're basically kind of changing the genre, and it's not going to be rock anymore. But with your traditional format, there's not much you can really do. There's only so many chord progressions. There's only so many things to where every song, it's going to be 4 or 3.5 minutes long, to where you have the opening, you have the middle, which has crescendos, people don't speak music, ups and downs, the big climaxes going back to it, and these kind of same chords that are going to be throughout the song. You can only do that so many times before there's not much else for you to do. It's not like we'll get to this discussion next week, but it's not even like classical music. You can kind of infinitely write music for piano. Like, there's 88 keys on that bitch, and there's an infinite amount of music you can make for it, just about. Like, that's still not reached how much music you can write for the piano. There's contemporary, there's classical, there's modern, whatever, and you can definitely make it sound different. But with a guitar plugged into distortion pedal, there's only so much you can do. Because literally you cannot make sounds on certain notes because of how heavy the distortion is. And people can definitely argue that you can make a lot of sounds with it, but you have to almost redo the instrument in a way to get something more out of it that I haven't seen yet.
I think to wrap up, that's a great insight, because I am kind of in the same way too, that until you start messing with, like, time signatures, which is really hard for, like, mainstream people to really understand.
Yeah, and there's not, and bands themselves. There's very few bands that can play in 5/4, 6/5, fuck that. And keep it together. Like, Radiohead can do that. I try not to talk about them, but this is the thing where I'm like, all right, it's rock. I got to talk about them. I mean, Boehner's and Mash, that's a song that's in 3/4, I believe. And Gorillaz could do some things too. There's kind of a big influx of, there's just not much, like, I'm trying to think of ways they can really change it, but not many people are willing. And now the good artists are really alternative, if anything. Like, the 1975, which is one of my favorite bands now, they're alternative rock. They have some harder rock songs, but it's not like Foo Fighters or Incubus per se, or Metallica, Queens of the Stone Age, whatever. Yeah, there's only so much.
I think that, I'm sure I've said this a long time ago, but I think I'm starting to do a thing where, like, oh, I'm sure I said this a while ago. Like, I'm assuming that everyone's listening, but I just, like, am paranoid about repeating things. Welcome to my internal self monologue. Here's my response now. I still have the belief that the best way to keep the genre going, not that rock needs to keep going, but I, you know, it's a good genre. There's a place for it. Yeah. But I think to do that, the experimenting needs to be better. And I don't know if people who are in the studio right now just aren't experimenting enough, or if there just isn't the raw talent there. But like, now we're at the point where rock is just going to have to get incorporated into other parts of music, it seems like.
Yeah.
In order to kind of push the genre forward. So if someone starts to produce like a trap album with rock elements, like that would be really interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I'm saying. The genre itself is dead because anything else that the genre is going to move forward, it's not going to be rock, technically. Like 1975, how they blew up especially last year, somebody else, in the US at least. That's not a rock song, technically. It's alternative, but a lot of people like that. Or indie can really take off, too. So
that's... This is going to be a great time for indie because this is a
big time for indie. This is where indie can really start to take over in its own element. And I'm actually seeing that, too, in festivals where some names that I've heard for a while that I never thought were going to get big are now starting to play Coachella and this and that. So...
Father John Misty, like, everywhere. He was one of those names like that for me.
Yeah. And that's the way of the future for it. It's pretty much dead. There's not much more. That's nothing that can revive it, really. The culture is completely shifted. It's changing of the times. And anything else is going to be technically a different genre.
I have one last point.
How about it?
I think that, and it ties everything together with music, news, and culture. I think part of the way culture is changing to where it's actually really conducive for indie as well, because it's the same, similar dynamic as with electronic music, where a lot of it's grassroots, people putting out music just like occasionally, getting things together, kind of like SoundCloud, except Bandcamp. And then... You know, it's that time where all the things are starting to align, where it could be like a big moment for indie rock artists to... And guess what? That's perfect. They're going to be the ones who are going to be pushing the sound. And it's indie rock, so there are going to be a lot of missteps. But it's, you know, the perfect kind of cradle for seeing what new's going to happen. So is rock dead? Kind of, but elements of it are going to become other things. Like, is jazz dead? Partially, but like songs still have jazzy influences and things like that.
Yeah,
it's really weird to kind of think of being like born immediately into it, only knowing kind of a rock era, but like it's happening, it needs to be acknowledged.
Just change of the times. And
Sean, that was really smart sounding. Hopefully, I don't delete this.
Dude, if you delete, or let me double check my Audacity and still recording.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that was a fucking amazing episode, dude. We killed
it. That was solid.
Made a lot of big ones, made a lot of little ones. This is something I'm going to try to do just to be more organized, but I do actually now look at calendars for when songs and albums come out and things like that, and so I can know a little bit of what's happening. Next week, Don Diablo is supposed to be having an album, so an electronic album we get to review. That'll be fun. AWOL Nation. I haven't heard from them, honestly, in like 4 years. So there's a new album coming from them out. That'll be fun.
That'll be interesting. Yeah, I haven't heard them in a long time.
Yeah, do you remember... Well, you don't remember Rich Chigga, but he used to be Rich Chigga. Now he's Brian, or Rich Brian. He has his debut album coming out. He's the Asian trap rapper who like made the final video.
Yeah, that's right. Totally forgot.
So, you... We'll see. It's going to be a very interesting episode. Alternative, electronic, and trap. It's the future. Welcome to Audio Face.
Welcome to Audio Face. All right, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Also, if you... That was a discussion topic. That was a discussion that we had, but that continues. If you want to tell us that we're wrong, or you want to tell us that we're right, literally please do that. We want to make this like an open conversation thing, and we're not experts. We're just music fans. We like talking about it, and fuck it, it's our podcast, so we are experts. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SWSuarez, where you can see him doing triathlon things and occasionally we need to get your Twitter game up, dude. Come on. All right,
dude, ever since I got Android, I hate the Twitter app, but I really should start doing more shit. I will, I promise.
There's some
tweet at me all the time, and you'll hear me.
Yeah, use the hashtag AudioFacePodcast. We're trying to get all of the conversation around there. If you say, oh, why not AudioFace? It's too long, because sometimes AudioFace is different. Plus, we have more characters now. Just do it. I'm Dan from the web on Twitter, Dan from the internet on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at DanFigureNet. Please subscribe to me on YouTube as well, because Facebook is, I got zucked. It's getting annoying. And if you're into Ben Shapiro or you're not, check out my video, which should be out shortly after this podcast drops / when you're listening to it. Thank you for listening. Can't wait to continue doing more stuff. This is awesome. I love having these conversations that are really intelligent with Sean and sharing them with the world.
Sir.
And look forward to doing more of them.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Cheers.